Hi folks, this is All Things Product with Petra Wille
and Teresa Torres.
And we're so happy you're here. Teresa, we just recently have to ditch the idea of a leadership event, Product at Heart leadership event happening in Barcelona, because no ticket sales. And one thing that we learned again is that it's so hard for product leaders to invest in their personal development, especially in the given economic situation. Do you see that as well?
Yes, all the time. So it's funny because at Product Talk, we primarily focus on product team coaching. I mean,
yeah,
training,
I know.
Coaching and training.
Yeah.
And what's interesting is that, like, if there's budget, it's really easy for a leader to frame it as our teams need coaching and training. What we're finding is there's this big hangup of like we often talk about, like an org transformation, the leader's role changes a lot. So there's skill development, there's coaching, there's a lot that has to happen at the leadership level as well. And we see a lot of reluctance around this. And I think it comes from this idea of like, my job is to help my team, and I should already know how to do my job.
Yeah, and the vulnerability.
Yeah, and this is really, the vulnerability is a huge part of it. Like, can I really go to my boss and say I need a coach? Didn't my boss hire me? Because as an executive, I should know what I'm doing. And I think this is really problematic because, first of all, the world has changed. Like, I know very few people at the executive level who, as an individual contributor, worked the discovery habits. But now they're expected to manage teams that are working the discovery habits. How are they supposed to do that? Right?
Yeah.
Or generative AI, like how are they supposed to be mm-hmm. experts on a brand new technology that is completely disrupting everything that we do? Like, there's lots of very valid reasons why leaders need professional development.
Yeah, and even personal, their own really like personality development really is something that is at least what we try to create with the leadership events that we've run. It's not only about content or the latest trend in AI or stuff like that, but it's also about meeting like-minded people, hearing what they struggle with. So that's the community aspect. I mean, we always to try to get one part of the event where people really go deep into reflection mode about their current situation, which hopefully helps them develop on a personal level. So no matter the actual role that they currently fulfill, but leadership has so much to do with being able to show vulnerabilities, for example, or being able, I had so many coaching sessions on feel it to fix it. That's a headline that I use a lot in my coaching sessions the last few weeks and months. Is currently everybody in leadership feels so numb because there's so many changes, and they oftentimes have to lead in times when they so not in line with the things that are currently changing around them. The market situation is maybe not in their favor. They maybe had to let go of people. That's stuff that they never wanted to do, but they have to do these things because they're currently in a leadership position, right? And this is another reason why it makes sense to really look into things that help you grow your personality along with the skills that you were talking about. So I think it's both aspects why it matters to have a great support as a leader as well.
Apparently, I'm going to mention a Lenny Rachitsky podcast episode on every one of our episodes.
Make it the thing.
That's right. So here's today's. That just reminds me of Drew Houston's interview from Dropbox. And he talked about how he sees his job as the leader. He has to grow at a rate faster than Dropbox grows. Because if he doesn't, Dropbox's culture starts mm-hmm. to like adopt these idiosyncrasies, trying to react to his areas where he's limited. And then it creates this dysfunctional organization. And I loved this interview because, one, he showed a ton of vulnerability, a ton of awareness of how like a leader impacts a company's culture.
The awareness. Amazing.
And I think this is true for product leaders. Like, your product teams are going to react to your little weird oddities and idiosyncrasies. And if you don't become aware of them, it perpetuates across the culture. Okay. Yeah. So I think that's a great argument for why leaders should invest in their professional development.
Leaders should not eat last. Let's maybe put it like that.
Yeah. Maybe what we can do is use your learning pyramid to talk through like when you can just rely on free stuff, when you should move to the next level.
What should I bring it up? Available? Do we do screen sharing in our podcast now? That's wild. It's a podcast. We assume some people are listening to it. Should I walk us through the concept, Teresa?
Why don't you walk us through the concept and then we'll put a link to the visual in the show notes.
Let's do that. Okay, folks. So hang with me in there. So it's basically a pyramid that I'm actually drawing. I call it the learning menu, and it has this base layer of free content that is available, and this applies in any situation, no matter if you talk to your product people or your research people or your design people or your engineering people or yourself, right? So there is free content available about leadership. That's your Harvard Business Review article or something like this. They have this daily leadership tip, for example. That's a great place to start, right? So it's free. It could be meetups. It could be blog posts. It could be canned talks. Many, many conferences are having all of their canned talks available online. So you could go dig there.
It could be my free product discovery session.
Oh, yeah. You have your free mini courses, Teresa. Yeah. Thanks for adding them.
Mini courses are a different thing altogether. One of the things we do for leaders specifically is we host monthly leadership calls where one leader goes deep on their organizational context and they share their biggest challenge related to the
team. Nice. That's a good one.
And then everybody else consults and advises. It's super fun. So we'll add a link for leaders to apply.
Yes, let's. Oh, and now that we're talking about it, on the free layer, I have a quarterly. I'm not spamming you. I promise. It's a quarterly. I'm coming with a season curated newsletter. What matters in product leadership right now, and it to some extent is my writing and my personal takes on stuff. But it has a substantial part of it is just like Lenny podcast episodes that I liked, making this a running gag now, or other articles that I found that I find valuable for product leaders in the situation right now. And it's entirely free. So just go subscribe if you want to.
Okay. Let's do this layer by layer. So the bottom of your pyramid is free stuff.
Free.
And there's so much free stuff out there. We just shared some good resources. I can hear already the criticism of like, yeah, I get it. There's a lot of free stuff, but how do I make time for this?
Yeah, that is the tricky bit. It really depends on personal preference. Because it's another thing. I think learning is not happening if you use a wrong methodology to some extent or the wrong medium to another extent, right? So if you love podcasts, go all in on listening to podcasts. But podcast episodes, that's another thing that you need to know, is it only gets you know-how, but it does not help you to build a solid skill or competency, because that requires practicing. So if you want to build a new skill or a competency as a product leader, then the question is, where's your dojo? So where can you actually practice some of these things? And for example, if you move one layer up from free to cheap, what I could think about dojo wise is read a book in a book club. So pick one of our books. Both Teresa and I have one. They're not expensive. And then you can ask some peers in your organization or at a local meetup, which is obviously a for free initiative as well. Meetups are a thing. And you could read the books together and just like discuss how people are applying stuff, like the calls that you were mentioning, Teresa. So that's the simplest way of a dojo to some extent. There are better ones where we really put people to practice, where really people get the weekly challenge or something like that. That helps a bit more, but that would be on the not expensive layer. You wanted to add to that.
Okay. Yeah. So the base layer is free. If I don't have very much time, I'm going to say, start teeny tiny.
20 like minutes a week.
Maybe, yeah. Find a 20 to 30 minute time slot once a week.
Yeah.
Read an article. Like this doesn't have to be a huge investment. Attend one meetup once a month.
Yeah.
Right? Just pick one thing. And then I love this idea of the second layer is kind of this dojo. What's a inexpensive way to find a little bit of practice? What I love about the book club is it provides some accountability. You're going a layer deeper than just consuming, because now you're consuming and discussing.
Yeah.
What are some other things that might be at this dojo layer?
Yeah, it depends. For example, our product at Heart Leadership events, we try to do mini workshops in there. You've been there at one of them, right? So that's a format where people usually come to not only hear about new things, but also at least reflect and practice on some of the behaviors. Reflection is an important part, especially in leadership growth. So find formats that help you, and some love journaling. Journaling, another great. It's not really like practicing dojo.
Here's what I would put at the dojo level is, I know like David Bland, and I think Jeff Gothelf does this as well. They run these like 2-hour mini workshops.
Yes.
They're like $200, right? They're pretty low cost. It takes 2 hours of your day. It allows you to go practice a skill. I know Maven does lightning. I think they're called lightning talks lessons.
Exactly.
Right? So like it may cost a little bit of money, but it's pretty inexpensive. If you're an executive, you could, even if your company doesn't pay for it, you could probably afford it. Your company should pay for it, and you should not feel bad about asking for it, by the way.
Yeah.
But even if you're not there yet, like these are low cost items. And I think the idea, like in the name of it, which I really love, is look for ways to get some hands on, like go deeper with the ideas in the free stuff.
Yeah.
So discuss a book, practice a skill, try something new, draft a thing. And I think like, probably everybody for their most urgent learning goal should be pushing to this dojo level. Would you say
that? Yeah, exactly. And another important dojo level for product leaders, at least, I think, is public speaking. And that can be practiced on the for cheap or free layers as well. So you can go to your local Toastmasters or can find something similar where you can practice public speaking. We talked about that in one of our former episodes as well. It is an important skill and muscle to build, especially in a leadership role. And that is not a big time investment. You don't need a public speaking coach. You can have a public speaking coach. Oh, yeah, Christina Wodka has this book on public speaking. Where is it? I forgot. Will we put it in the show notes?
Present yourself, I think.
Present yourself. Exactly. That's the title. So again, there are free versions out there. There are cheap versions out there. But I would like to add the public speaking level to the mix as well, dojo-wise.
I think one way to think about this is like the first thing is before you can even start this pyramid, what am I trying to learn? Like, what do I need?
Yeah, the learning. I call it the learning headline.
And I would caution people on this a little bit. Like even without a learning headline, I love that framing. Don't let that stop you. Like you can start finding an author that resonates with you, follow a blog, listen to a podcast, introduce a little bit of serendipity here. So in your 20 minutes a week, maybe it's listening to 20 minutes of a podcast or reading a free article. But as you start to develop that learning headline, maybe that's when you're moving up the pyramid saying, okay, no, now I have a learning objective. I have something that's going to help me be better at my job. How do I accelerate my learning? I'm not just relying on serendipity. I'm going to invest a little bit of time, maybe a little bit of money to go deeper on this. And that's where we're getting into the dojo idea of books and meetups things like that. Okay. And how do I know what's the next level and how do I know when I should go there?
Yeah. The next level is like, even more expensive, obviously. That's why we call it the menu. And that's conferences and that's trainings and that's workshops. Because now we no longer talk like €24 or $99. Now we talk like €700 or €1,000 for a conference or a training that has substantial value. And obviously you want to pick wisely if you, because it's the time investment. It's not only the money investment for leadership people. More often the time investment to fly to a conference, it basically ruins 3 days in your calendar. And your 3 days are usually more expensive than the conference tickets ever will be. So, really now you need to think about, is the investment, does it make sense? And I know, for example, with from conversations with our attendees, a lot of the product leaders love the conference for several reasons. First of all, they hear what people on the ground are talking about. So they want to be exposed to the other attendees and their opinions and their takes on the talks that everybody saw. The leadership people oftentimes are not watching the talks because learning something new, they oftentimes know what the speakers are talking about. But what they get out of it is how to explain certain concepts and things. So they sit in the audience and they really think about how they tactically did the train, the speaker talk about a certain concept and how that could maybe help them coach their team towards it. So this is how I hear a lot of product leaders think about a conference ticket. And that is, by the way, a different pitch if you go to your boss and say like, hey, I need budget for the conference, than if your boss thinks you just go to the random conference because you, I like the food in the city or something like that. No, you actually want to understand how certain concepts are taught, for example, explained, and bring that back to your organization.
I would actually think about this as like at this level, it's a little bit more of an investment. And I would frame it as there's two ways to approach this. Like I personally try to go to a conference or take a course at least once a year in something that I just want to learn about. Right. Yeah. So it's like I have a learning goal for the year. Like last year, it was getting a lot better at like content marketing related stuff, running webinars, stuff like that. And I actually went to a marketing conference. This year, we'll see what it turns out to be. I'm still debating. Maybe I'll take like an AI class or something, or maybe I'm actually doing a lot of engineering. Maybe I'll go to an engineering conference.
I go to a business conference.
Yeah. Like it's just like something that maybe you negotiate in your compensation package to be able to go to like a personal development conference every year, one a year. I think another way you could look at it is your boss giving you feedback on something you need to improve?
Yeah, exactly. I was about to say they should have an opinion.
Is your team giving you feedback on something you need to improve? So yeah. maybe it's very targeted based on what was in your last 360 review. Maybe it's very targeted based on your new company strategy, and there's a gap in your ability to execute on that new company strategy. We're seeing that a lot with generative AI right now.
Yes, we do.
So I think especially as we're moving higher in this, like it's a little more of an investment from a money standpoint and from a time standpoint, I see this fall into one of those two buckets. It's either something that was negotiated up front as part of a compensation package, and you're just have the freedom to pick what's most interesting to you based on your learning goals, or it's a very targeted solution in response to feedback you got from somewhere in the organization.
Yeah, or getting less likely these days, but a lot of product leaders go for networking / employer branding reasons as well. Yeah. This is another way how to secure budget for such a trip, so to say.
If you're still
And then on top of it, because now we have mainly talked about a product conference. But I think in leadership, you still could go to a lot of product leaders do coaching training or something like that, really looking at their own personality. And even the occasional yoga retreat can help you with that. So whatever, it really depends on your personality type. But whatever gets you in reflection, whatever gets you in touch with your feelings and emotions and being able to, because you will be, you're needing to deal with conflict or things like that, harsh conversations, unpleasant conversations, and you need to be prepared for that. So that's another thing that you could add to the mix is stuff that helps you personally grow and deal with these situations on the workshop, on the conference, on the retreat, maybe it's a retreat level, whatever you name it. Yeah.
Okay. And then the very tip of the pyramid is
the coaching. Cherry on the cake.
Cherry on the cake is coaching. And we're talking about this at the leadership level. And one thing I really like about this is product leadership coaching is becoming more common. It's less stigmatized. More executives across the tech industry are working with coaches, which is normalizing product leaders working at coaches with coaches. There's a few things I like about this, which I think is when we're a single person in an organization, we're spending all of our mind share on how our organization works. And one thing we get from a coach is access to a lot of data points across organizations. So it's a coach can help us broaden our perspective get us out of the weeds of our own organization, help us consider things we haven't already considered. And I think, I personally think, and I'd love your take on this, Petra, your company should always pay for your coach. Like, your company gets so much value out of you working with a coach. I think the company should always be paying for it. I know a lot of leaders are uncomfortable asking for it, but I think there's ways to position this. Look, I'm going to work with this coach, and here's how I'm going to bring it back and create value for the company.
Yeah, I agree. I see all kinds of setups. So in some organizations, it's mandatory to have a coach when you move into such an important role than the CPO, head of product role. So not VC companies often not even argue. They kind of, if we hire a new product, head of product, chief product officer, then of course they get a coach. Sometimes even from their portfolio of coaches that they often tend to use. So that's one extreme. And then there is the corporate settings where it is a thing that you can ask for a coach. So they oftentimes have a coach portfolio that you can pick from, but you can, it's rare that the product leadership coaches are in there. It's usually the business coaches that are in there, the career coaches sometimes that are in there. It's rare that the product leadership coaches are in there. So if you want to grow in particular in your product leadership stuff, that's all kind of how to provide directional clarity. That's the strategy piece we were just talking about in one of the other episodes. Then you want to get a product coach on board that has a bit of experience and is broadening your horizon, what you were saying, Teresa, exactly that's that. And helping you to gain clarity on what currently matters in your given situation. Because the assumption with which coaches are coming to the coaching so often evaporates in the first session. If I dig a bit deeper, then we end up with an entire different set of topics that we need to discuss. But which is fine, by the way, that's what coaching is all about, right? Oftentimes we just see the tip of our leadership iceberg. And then if somebody more experienced with a broader horizons helps you dig a bit, you find more things to discuss. And then I still have, I'd say, currently maybe 10% of my coaches are paying for their own coaching. It was like 20 in the past. I think that shrunk a bit because people are not willing to pay for their own coaching right now in this current climate, because everybody's basically holding on to their money, which I totally understand and get. But I always felt weird when people were, and I particularly, so I don't do career coaching. I think for career coaching, it's a slightly different thing. There, I think it makes sense if the coach pays for their own career coaching because the career might be outside of the company that they currently are working for. So then it's weird to take company's money. At least I think.
Although some companies, if they know a leader is transitioning out, they may cover the career coaching in that instance or if there's been a layoff. But you're raising a really good point, which I see at the leadership level a lot in coaching. Sometimes a leader works with a coach and the outcome of that coaching is they realize their organization is not the best fit.
I have that in my initial briefing that can happen because it happens so often.
Yeah. And now there's a little bit of a ethical conundrum. The company is paying you to coach the leader. It's becoming clear to you that the leader is going to leave the organization. What do you do in that situation?
I'm really clear on that upfront to the company that is paying the bill and to the, because I really make clear that I'm coaching the individual human being in their current role, in the given environment and under the given circumstances, which is company employed. But I'm not coaching on behalf of the organization, so to say. I'm not, in some settings, I do a bit of a debriefing. If I have like 15 coaches from a particular organization, then I do a bit of a debriefing on the pattern that I see. But I never debrief on the individual person and where I think they are. I don't have conversations with HR about how they're actually doing. I once had, which wasn't because I was really, really, really super worried about the person that had a massive health problem going on and were not replying. So therefore, I reached out to HR to make sure that they're fine. But I was the only exclusion from the rule. So because it's really important that I'm the coach of this individual. and not the coach of the company. And in an ideal scenario, coaching this person helps the company to get more out of their working hours. And usually that is the case. But I need to be really clear about that upfront, because it oftentimes means that people find new seats for them.
We actually see the exact same thing with team coaching.
Ah.
So what happens is a leader brings us in to coach or train their teams. They believe their organization is committed to adopting the discovery habits. We train their and coach their teams on how to adopt the discovery habits. And the organization's not really ready for them to adopt the discovery habits. And what that does is it creates a ton of frustration at the team level, which then turns into a lot of turnover at the team level. And so this is also something I'm very upfront about when people bring us in for training and coaching.
Be warned.
You better be ready to commit to this, because when teams learn how to work this way, they don't want to go back.
Yeah. Yeah.
All right. Same thing with the coaching. We have wandered a little bit. Here's my takeaway from our conversation so far. Leaders should not eat last. Their professional development matters as much, if not more, than their team's professional development. We're going to put in the show notes a link to Petra's article with her learning menu. The base of the menu is free stuff, so no budget is not an excuse. And then it also will give you ways that you can grow your investment for both from a time and a money standpoint as those resources become available. But really, hopefully our goal today was to give you an easy place to start, because every leader should be thinking about how do they invest in their own professional development.
Please do.
All right. Thanks, Petra.
Amazing. Thanks, Teresa.